Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I love a good against the odds story. You know, a story where someone takes on a challenge and manages to beat the odds and achieve. I came across one the other day as I was scrolling through BBC News on my phone. Sophie Etheridge. She was involved in an accident in 2011, which left her in permanent pain and with limited mobility, being largely dependent on a wheelchair. She was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and since then she has suffered with pain all over her body. But on the 23rd of August this year, she swam the English Channel, powered only by her arms. What an incredible achievement, an incredible story of beating the odds. When her coach was interviewed afterwards, she said this: "What has got her through this particular swim is her mindset." Sophie had had hours and hours of coaching sessions, fitness training. She'd gone through years of rehab since her accident. She was on all kinds of medication. But when it came down to it, achieving a challenge like this and beating the odds, what mattered more than all of those things was her mindset, was what was inside that counted. Now, we've all been in situations, we've all faced challenges where it's felt like the odds have been stacked against us, and we've had to rely on our mindset to get through, haven't we? Maybe it has been something to do with our health, maybe issues at work, maybe stuff going on in our family. Having the right mindset when faced with challenge is so, so important. And having the right mindset is also crucial for us as a church, for our life as a church. The church in Philippi, we've seen over the last few weeks, in many ways it's growing, it's thriving since Paul brought the gospel there about 10 years before. He's writing this letter to them from prison. He's moved on, he's now in Rome, and he's been captured again because he's spreading the gospel. He's telling them that he's praying for them with joy because he knows that they are partners in the gospel with them. Things are going well with them. And Paul was able to be reassured, even though his circumstances are not good. He's reassured and he's joyful when he thinks of his brothers and sisters in Philippi. But then we saw last week, just towards the end of chapter 1, Paul begins to cast the spotlight on them a little. He's talked to them about how he's doing, how he's feeling, how he's able to be joyful, even in these terrible circumstances. And now he turns to them and says, verse 27 of chapter 1, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." And we saw how that, really what Paul is saying is, look, be who you are. Be good citizens of Christ's kingdom. Christ has rescued you. He's brought you in. Now live it out. Live out what it means to belong to Christ. And you need to do that, Philippians, in the face of opposition. It will come. You will need to stand together in the Spirit, contend together for Christ, suffer even together for Christ. But opposition from out there was not the only challenge that the church in Philippi was going to have to face. And it's not the only challenge that we as a church today have to face either. Every group of God's people over the past 2,000 years has faced opposition on the outside and has also faced tensions within. It's the reality of what happens when you get a bunch of human beings together. And so Paul turns his attention to tensions that may be starting to arise in the church in Philippi. There's some hints of some strife between two particular members of the church. We read that in chapter 4. But whether they're kind of ongoing or he's thinking about the future, he turns his attention to their relationships within and tells them what they're going to need to beat the odds and to survive and thrive as a church, as citizens of Christ's kingdom in this world. And his words to the Philippians in these verses in chapter 2 are as vital for us today as they were to them 2,000 years ago. If we are going to survive and thrive as a church here in Sherbournes of Pamber, if we're going to beat the odds in the face of opposition out there and tensions within, then what we need, Paul says, we need to have the right mindset. That's what's fundamental to our thriving as a church. And so I'm going to break that down, this idea of having the right mindset, into three parts. Look with me at the first couple of verses. So verse 1, chapter 2, Paul says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose," or mind, it's the same word there. So he's basically saying to them, look, you need to be united in mind, in mindset. If belonging to Christ means anything to you, what a wonderful summary of the gospel verse 1 is. Our union with Christ, our love that we have from him, our fellowship with the Spirit. If the gospel that saved us means anything to us, then be united in our mindset. This is what Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, isn't it? Just before he was arrested. "Father, that all of them may be one, just as you are in me and I am in you." Brothers and sisters, we are to be of one mind, united in thought and attitude, united in mindset. And does that mean that we all have to think the same thing about everything? Does that mean we have to have exactly the same opinion on every matter of church life? Well, I don't think that could possibly be what Paul means. If we think about Sophie Etheridge, the swimmer. Now, she completed that channel swim solo, but she had a team around her. She couldn't have done it without a team. A team who shared her mindset of determination and courage and belief. But I don't think we're to think that that team always had the same opinion about every matter, every decision that needed to be made in the run-up and through her swim from one side of the channel to the other. Of course there will have been disagreements and discussion and lively debate, perhaps. That's what, in many ways, that's the mark of a healthy team, that we are able to express our views. But when it came to the essentials about what Sophie was going to need, and when it came to that belief in her, then of course her team will have been united in mind. And so as Christ's church, when it comes to the essentials of the faith, of what the gospel is, when it comes to our faith, our belief in the Lord Jesus, then we need to be united in mind. So how do we do it? How do we be united in mindset? Well, the great preacher, minister, theologian John Stott once said that the secret of unity is humility. We can see where he gets that from when we read on in these verses. Verses 3 to 4, Paul says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." Brothers and sisters, we need to be united in mindset, and we need to be humble in mindset. That word "better" is to do with importance. It's not, Paul's not, of course, saying that some of you Philippians are better than others. Of course, we know that in God's eyes, we are all equal. We all share in God's grace together. But think about what would happen if, when we come through the door of the church building or come to a gathering, and when we enter the room and we look around and we think, all these people that I can see, they are all more important than me. Think about what that would look like if we all had that mindset. Not, I'm the most important person in this room, but they are. You are. There's no place for selfish ambition in Christ's kingdom. No place for looking down on anyone, no matter what our position in the church might be. A church family that is humble in mind is one where everybody looks up to one another. Tim Keller describes being humble in mind as self-forgetfulness. He said that the thing that we would remember when we meet a truly gospel humble person is how much they seem to be totally interested in us. Because the essence of gospel humility is not thinking more of myself or thinking less of myself. It is thinking of myself less. Do you see the difference? When we are humble in mind, it then means that when tensions do arise, when we do find ourselves disagreeing, we can discuss and work things out in a way that builds one another up rather than tears one another down. Because I might think, well, okay, this is what I think on this matter. This is my view, and that's your view, and we differ on this, but actually you're more important than me. And so how we then work out our disagreement is going to be massively shaped if that's the way our minds are. Be united in mind. Be humble in mind. And how do we learn this? Where do we learn this humility? Because this is not our natural selves, is it? When we get to these wonderful verses in verses 5 to 11, where Paul basically says, look, we need to be Christ-like in mind. We need to look to the one who is the very definition of humble in mind. Verse 5, he says, your attitude, and that word attitude is the same as the word for mind, your mind should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Citizens of the kingdom should be like their king. We should think like Jesus thought. We're going to say these few words as one in a few moments, as our creed. We're going to affirm our faith in Christ Jesus. But as we do that, as we stand and say the words of this wonderful piece of scripture that almost reads like a hymn, as Paul goes off on one, really, in his wonder at who Christ is and his humility in what he did for us. Let's, as we say these words, be thinking about how we can learn to be more like him. He, though he was in very nature God, made himself nothing. Christ Jesus humbled himself from the highest place that there could possibly be as God over all to the lowest of the low. A servant, a slave, a criminal on a cross. Instead of grasping on to what was rightfully his, he let it go. Why? Because he considered you more important than himself. Christ looked to each of our interests, our needs, our need to be forgiven, to be reconciled to God, our need of a substitute, a saviour, our need of a God who would make himself nothing, who would pour himself out so that we can be brought in to his kingdom of peace and joy and hope. If we're going to live as citizens of Christ's kingdom, if we are going to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, if we're going to beat the odds, if we're going to thrive as a church in the face of opposition out there, tension in here, then we need to have our minds shaped after our King. United in mind, humble in mind, Christ-like in mind. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the truths that we have read, that we're about to say. Thank you that he let go of everything for us. Thank you for his humility. Thank you that rescued us, that saved us. And Lord, now as those who have been saved, we pray that you would help us to think like he thought. Help us, Lord, as a church, to be united in mindset, to be humble in mindset, and to be Christ-like in mindset. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.